Are you ready for a change? Be it physical, mental, or emotional change, you've already got what it takes to make that happen. Your host for the upcoming program, the Matt Newton Power Hour, has trained in martial arts over the course of several decades. Time and time again, his training methods have saved or extended the careers of dozens of NFL, NBA, and Major League Baseball stars. Matt Newton has authored two highly acclaimed books, A Path to Power and The D Factor. The Matt Newton Power Hour starts now. Here's Matt.
Let's do a live radio broadcast. Newton, and this is the Power Hour. Did you miss me? I miss you guys. Every once in a while, you know, this happens. Business takes me away from my fun. Okay. And that happened last week, gang. Wasn't able to get behind the mic. But that's okay. We're back right now. Doing what we do. It's called the Power Hour, gang. Yeah, and we're coming back with a blast. Mr. Richard Elliott, our musical guest host, will tell you all about him coming up. But first, let's make sure you know that the magic man is behind the glass, as usual, making everything happen. What up, my man?
Thank you, Mac Daddy. Glad to be back.
Yes, sir.
We had a little bit of time off there.
There you go. A little is enough. We don't need more than that. And, of course, the fabulous Natasha in her customary chair, making the room smell good and look so good. Miss Look So Good, what's up?
Hi, everybody. I missed the show last week. I missed you, Mac.
Ooh.
But we're having fun now.
Yeah.
Wonderful Richard Elliott. We had pleasure to see him alive. And what a great experience.
He's a great
that.
Performer. You know what they call him? They call him a James Brown of contemporary jazz because of his energetic performances. And I tell you, if you've ever seen him around the country performing, you know, with guitars and saxes, with Peter White and other members of the Jazz Pack, then you know he is just a bundle of energy. Started out some years ago touring with Melissa Manchester, Rick Springfield, you know, Tower of Power, you know, still going strong.
And
Huey Lewis in the News, who knew? Richard Elliott. But you know what? When you go online and you read about some of these musicians and how they got there, so exciting. He was born in 1960, Richard Joel Elliott, in Glasgow, Scotland. What's up with that? One of our top saxophonists. I'm going to tell you right now. I mean, I don't know what, but my question is, right now, contemporary jazz right now, he is in a battle with Darius. What's it? You know, the other kid's name was, oh gosh, what is this?
Norman Brown?
No, that's a guitarist. I'll think of his name in a minute. Oh gosh. Ooh, I'll get his name. But those two are really close. But I think that Richard Elliott is number one. And where do you go from number one? You stay there. Just keep on doing what you're doing, my man. He and his family moved to settled in the L.A. suburbs in the early 60s. And he took up the saxophone because he liked the shape of it when he was in high school. And actually, he was in junior high. He was 11 years old. Anyway. This is taken from his very latest LP. What's the name of that? The name of that CD? his latest album.
We have Rocksteady here.
Yeah, that's what it is, Rocksteady. And I tell you what, he jams on this one, man. This Rocksteady, Aretha Franklin song, does it up. We might share with you a little bit later on. Yeah, we might not. But either way, you're in for a great show. Strap yourselves in, gang. Great show on tap for you guys today. You know what? I don't think it's going to get to be 100 degrees today. It's sunny out, but I don't think it's going to get to be 100. We had a little bit of rain, or at least threats of rain, on Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. But today, Thursday, it's bright sun outside. But it's, you know what? After the summer of 110 and 12 and 15, even the Mac Daddy says, that
feels cool.
Good.
It feels cool. I'm happy. I love it.
Woo! Welcome aboard, gang. And thanks to all of our listeners out there. We want to give a few shout-outs all of a sudden. Right here. Shout-outs coming on. Let's do that. You know, we want to give a big shout-out to Larry. Larry, right here in the valley, his lovely wife, Kimmy. Kurt, out there in the UK, and his lovely girlfriend. Hey, Veronica G in the Philippines. I think she has fulfilled one of her life dreams. She is traveling right now throughout Europe in Brussels. Yes.
Awesome.
Congratulations, VG.
Awesome.
All right. Chris and his boy, Nick, right here in the valley. My main man, GA in GA. Yeah. And his lovely bride down there. Barry and all the Taekwondo people in Chi-Town. Nick and all the gang up in Denver. What up? Alfredo down in Mexico. You know what? Last Tuesday, we had a bunch of folks from Blair's group come in for a workout, and boy, did they get one. I mean, Dano and the boys, Ben, how you feel? You like one-leg presses? You know what they are now. Woo! Andy up in Spain, what's up, my man? Al in South FLA. And Ryan, you liking the online workouts? Ryan, our furthest west listener, is now working out online. I know it, man, because I saw you. Come across the wire. Welcome aboard. If you have any questions, give me a call. We'll deal with you just like you were in the house right here. Bam! Got it like that. Richard Elliott, you like that, don't you? Woo! I like it too. Our early segment is going on. We'll talk about when it's wrong. Our main topic is building a positive self-concept today, and a couple other cute little tricks coming at you guys today. Right here on the Power Hour. It is now exactly 7.5 minutes past the hour. Wherever you are, I hope you're healthy and happy and got people around you who love and care about you. As we tone down Richard Elliott there just a little bit. Oh, yeah, we'll have more Richard Elliott coming at you. Oh, you got to see him perform. The guy is just a powerhouse, man. I mean, he's just bouncing all over the stage just playing. And in fact, in the last concert, I don't know if I mentioned on one of the earlier shows, but I guess it was called Guitars and Saxes, but it was just he and Norman Brown, two of my favorite contemporary jazz performers. And Norman just had just a terrible day with his guitar. First of all, he comes out and he couldn't get the chord to work, you know, hooking up to his amplifier, you know. He just
gig problems.
He just couldn't get it to work, man. They changed chords, and he's, you know, he's talking and going on. That's, you know, he's a guitar player. He's not a talk show host, so he's just kind of wasting time, and everyone's just in a little awkward moment there that stretches out for an awfully long time. And so they're trying to get it to work, and he got it to work for just a moment, and he starts playing, and it goes out again.
It's the worst.
It's the absolute worst. And so finally, they take the guitar and they're going to change everything off of it. So he takes the guitar of his lead guitarist, and it's sort of like a, not a Stratocaster, but a Tele? Telecaster. And so he straps, well, you know, playing contemporary jazz on a Telecaster it sounds a little tinny, you know.
A little twangy.
It's a little tinny, really tinny. And I, you know, but it was, he was trying. So he starts to contact concert on that. And finally, it seems like forever, they finally get it fixed, so they bring it back out. He gets it on, and he's really happy. And of course, you know, would it be that George Benson is in the audience too, sitting right down from me?
Right.
And and as soon as he starts playing, bam, he breaks the string. Oh, man. He breaks the string.
Well, he had a bad day.
It was all happening right there. And so he was, you could tell, he was just so frustrated. He just ripped off his guitar and walked off stage. And Richard Elliott just stepped in. And oh, my goodness. So Norman was going to open up the concert. I guess his part was going to be first. Richard Elliott just stepped in. And we all forgot about Norman for a while because Richard just tore it up.
Nice.
I mean, just, you know what? I was already a Richard Elliott fan. But by the end of that set, I was a big fan. And of course, you know, by the time Norman gets back on stage and everything's working, you know, he feels compelled now to do the concert of his life. So what we got right there in that little time and space was just an amazing concert. You remember it, Natasha?
Absolutely.
It was just incredible. I was sitting down there laughing at the little things that were going wrong, knowing that, you know, that stuff happens, and us aficionados who've been to dozens of concerts, we've seen all that stuff happen. You know, we've seen it all. My only question was, how come you didn't have another guitar on stage?
Yeah, you always have to have a backup.
You got to have a backup. You know, George, I asked George next time. I said, George, how come you have another guitar? I don't know. In fact, this guitar sitting right behind me right now, which George gave me, was the one he used to always have on with him. It's an Ibanez 200. And he would always have, and every time I've seen George, he's always had a second guitar on stage. You know, it's like, then you just take one off, you just grab the other and plug it in. You're ready to go.
Even if you're a struggling band, you always have to have just some beater guitars.
You got to have something.
There.
So got to have something around there. I guess Norman learned a lesson again. So there you have it.
Well, he's young. You know, he's but, learning. Well,
hey, Norman Brown is no longer a rookie or young. Norman Brown is one of the senior statesmen of contemporary jazz, and he's holding his own. Norman Brown right now can challenge anyone on the jazz scene on a guitar, and he is amazing. His skill level, his creativity, his stage presence is just unsurpassed. He really, really does a good job. Now, I'm a big George Benson fan, but I'll tell you, Norman Brown has his own style, and I'm so glad to see him step into that and embrace his own identity rather than trying to sort of be a retread George Benson. And I know he admires George a lot, but I mean, he's got his own act, and it is amazing, and I'm really happy to see him embrace it, and because he is absolutely terrific. Hey, listen, a little quick thing for you guys there. Before we jump into our early segment, a couple of things that I've talked about health-wise extensively over the years. In terms of your workouts, it's kind of like if you go online and you see my 7-minute workout, someone think, well, what can you do in 7 minutes? Well, you know what? It's not just 7 minutes of laying around talking. It's 7 minutes of intense exercise. You've done that 7-minute workout, right? Right?
Yeah, I challenge anyone to try it. I definitely know you'll be sweating by the end.
So, in fact, I think GA, one of the things he said, I don't have the email right in front of me. He sent me a message saying one of his goals is to get that 7-minute workout under his belt. Well, he's done it, but he can't get all 7 minutes down. I think he's up to minute number 5.
Right? Yeah, that's a great thing too there. I mean, it's online. You just keep trying it
sure
week
is.
After week. And
but the
be
point,
better.
My point here is that it's very intense.
Oh,
and
yes, sir.
That's the point. It's very, very intense. And that's how you're, see, when you work out intently, let's say you burn 300 calories in your workout. Well, when you're working out intently and you raise your core temperature, okay, you're going to continue to burn extra calories after your workout, as opposed to a more moderate, less demanding workout. Even if you work out for an hour or even two, you won't burn as many calories and get as much of a health benefit as working out for those 7 to 15 minutes like we do online and have that after exercise continual calorie burning effect. So kick up the intensity. rather than say, well, I went to the gym for 3 hours. You know what I say to that? You just wasted 2.5 hours, okay? Because if you can't get it done in about 40 minutes and certainly to an hour, you are your workout is not well planned. You're just wasting time. Or maybe you're socializing, and that's okay too. But if you're really thinking about working out, the more intense the workout, the more direct, the more you might say inflammatory, where it heats your body up. And there's a lot to be said for that, because you want to sweat, and you want to sweat profusely. You want to really get it coming out of your forehead and your nose and your and coming dripping down your chin, and you want it coming off your shoulders and off your chest. You want to be dripping in sweat. Why? Several reasons. Number one, that sweat is going to bring impurities out of your body. That is another way of eliminating waste and getting rid of carcinogens and impurities and toxins out of your body. You can even smell it sometimes that it comes out of your body and is purifying your body. You can smell that. So you want to get that sweat coming out. And a lot of people, oh, I don't want to sweat. Don't make me sweat. I don't want to do that. You know what? Sweat is my life. I like it. You know, I want to sweat. If I don't sweat, if I don't have my uniform soaked all the way through both sides, I didn't work out, you know. Natasha, walk over there and get my belt. Would you please, my black belt over
Absolutely.
There?
Absolutely.
You know, watch out. Don't take your headphones on, darling. We're going to lose the set, folks. All right. Thank you. Now, this is a brand new belt that I started wearing. And look at this now, Magic Man. Do you see that stain on there?
Yes, sir.
You know what that is?
Sweat.
Oh, definitely sweat.
That's a sweat stain. Now, that's a sweat stain. You can see the white sweat in this belt that's been looped over twice. In order to get there, it had to come through my uniform.
Yeah, you're right. That is double looped over. So that's a lot of saturation.
That's a lot of saturation to saturate both levels, both of these belts. Look at that.
That's no joke.
Yeah, that's no joke. And this is just my new one. I've got sweat through, and we never wash the sweat out of the belt because that's your work. That's a sign of all of your work. I mean, some of them I've sweat through so much, you can barely tell they're black anymore.
Yeah, I was going to say, you're wearing black belts and you train so hard, they go back to white belts.
They go back to white almost. And so that sweat, that intense sweat, heat, and the heat itself. Those of you who are working out in 68 degree temperatures, you're not getting the full effect. You've got to raise that temperature to 80 degrees, 85 degrees, 90 degrees, 95 degrees. You've got to raise that temperature of your workout area up so that you can raise your core temperature. Things happen when the body heats up. I'll tell you something. Even some of the latest research in the treatment of cancer cells, while they're even operating sometimes on cancerous tumors, and they're treating the body with chemotherapy, they will then flood it with really hot fluid. Cancer cells can't stand heat. So when you heat up that body temperature and you work out in that really hot temperature, it's actually a way of making your body healthier and fighting off other diseases. So there you go. More intensity, heat up your core, sweat more. Okay? You don't need to work out longer, work out more intently. Go online, macnewton.com, or just go to YouTube and just press in Mac Newton 7-minute workout. It's free, 7 minutes, and I challenge you to not miss a beat. Do every last one of every exercise in that 7 minutes, and if you're not sweating, then you're working out on the North Pole or something where it's really, really cold. And you know what? You'd be sweating there too. All right? So anyway, next little thing I want to throw at you to help you out is the most important thing for people's eating plan, if you're not going to do the 3-2, which is basically the eating food that's free from, you know, salt, sugar, and white flour. All three of those things are addictive. The salt, the white flour, sugar, then yeast and stuff like that. These are very addictive substances that when you eat it, bread, cake, muffins, cookies, as soon as you eat it, it makes you go, makes you feel good. Oh, yeah. Because it just raises your pulse rate and you just feel good. I mean, you eat a biscuit, you eat a roll, and, you know, that yeast and white flour and salt in there. Just, oh, yeah. Comfort food, they call it. Yeah, comfort food until you hit about 45, and it is called type 2 diabetes. It's called obesity. It's called you don't have enough energy to get up in the morning, and you can't work out because your body's bloated, and you have no lean muscle mass left anymore. You cannot sleep. and you're irrational and erratic, and your moods are flying out of control because you're not in shape and you don't know what to do about it. All right, stop eating bread. It's not your friend. Get rid of that. Okay, and stop eating salt. Don't salt your food. Don't salt your food. You know what? According to, let me see here. I have a note. According to the, let me see here if I have what my note says. Well, I'll find it in a second. But anyway, if you reduce the daily salt intake just to the recommended daily limit, which I say you don't need any salt at all. You need sodium. Sodium and salt are two different things. Sodium is sodium. It's a mineral, essential mineral, that aids in your alkalinity and aids in bringing your pH levels to normal. It works with potassium and magnesium and zinc and other minerals to create a very healthy internal environment in your blood and your body. Salt is sodium chloride. It's a preservative. It's a flavorizer. It's a toxin. And you should not eat it. Okay? And a lot of people, you know, sort of accidentally on purpose, has been confused by the media to think that those two are one and the same. They are not. So, skip the salt completely. As I said, reducing it just to the daily recommended limit in this country would save over 150,000 lives a year. And you know what? With the exception of eliminating tobacco, I don't think there are very few health concerns that would have that level of a benefit. So in other words, you got salt, your next stop, tobacco. Get rid of salt. You don't need it. So there you have it. Two things. Improve your life. Work out shorter periods of time. Don't go to the gym for 2 hours or 3 hours and spend most of your time just standing around a water cooler, dabbing the two beads of sweat off of your forehead that came because you were walking over to the water cooler, not during your workout. Okay? Get in the most intense workout class you can find in your gym. And don't stop. Don't stop. Even if the lead in the class stops, don't you stop. You keep doing something else. You just keep working. No breaks. No breaks. And go online and do the 7-minute workout. Let me know what you think. We got a whole lot of folks doing that thing. I wonder how many views we've had. We've only had it up there about three and a half months. Let me take a look and see how many views. I know that GA is doing it.
And well, lots of people doing.
Yeah, I know.
Lots of people in Mexico doing.
Yeah,
it,
all around the world. And I know that the Magic Man is doing it. Let me just go over to YouTube. How many times have you done it, Magic Man?
I've probably done it about 6 or 7 times.
Have you been able to get through all 7 minutes yet?
It's been a struggle, but actually, since we've been talking about it, I plan on doing it when we get out of here tonight.
You didn't answer your question, my question.
Did I make it all the way to the end?
That was my question.
I'm sorry, sir.
You know what? See, guys should never do that, Magic Man. Guys should never do that. Here we go. We're at 3,613 views as of right now.
600,000?
No, 3,600,000. What's the matter?
I didn't hear you right. That's why I was so surprised.
You see, you just broke one of the rules of manliness. Okay? See, you know, women haven't answered a direct question since the beginning of time, and everyone knows that. Ask them about the kitchen, they're going to tell you about the door. You know, it happens all the time. I asked Marty just yesterday, I says, "Hey, Marty, would you recommend that movie?" She says, "I liked it." That's not the question I asked. I asked the next to her, would you recommend that movie? Yes. That would be the answer, yes or no. See, saying, "I liked it," answered the question, "Did you like the movie?" So I said to you, Magic Man.
Yes, sir.
Have you been able to finish?
No, sir.
Okay.
I'm bad at the yes or no. I always
over-explain
things.
Okay. So, but I don't know exactly what question you answered, but you've not been able to finish the 7 minutes yet.
Not, you know, the way that I would like to, just powering all
the way.
Have
you been able to get all the way through the 7-minute workout?
I go all the way to the end, but, you know,
nonstop.
Have
you ever been able to get all the way through the 7-minute workout doing everything that's in it?
Yes.
You have. Everything.
You know, but like I said, I would like my form to be better and everything, not, you know, struggling.
So you haven't done it all right?
Not all right. That's what I'm saying. My technique was not great.
So you haven't been able to do it yet?
No.
Not yet. It's like a battle.
You got the answer.
You got the answer.
So you said now, this conversation has refocused you,
this
and you
motivated
gonna,
me
to go, and you're going to actually maintain your technique and do all 7 minutes.
Well, actually, making me think about it. You know, when you're talking a second
still
ago about
it, hasn't answered the question.
Yes, it has motivated me to go home and do it.
Got caught again.
I always
start thinking again. I mean, it's like, you know, only women that you are married to can talk to you like that. And Magic Man, we are not married, okay?
No,
so,
sir.
You know, okay? So you can't do that, okay? It's very unmanly. Don't do that anymore, okay? Hey, gang, it's now 25 minutes past the hour. We're having some fun here with the Magic Man on Thursday, the 15th of September. Can you believe it? The 15th of September. Autumn is here. The football season has started. Yeah, hopefully your team wins. I have no clue. I like to watch a game, but I tell you what, I don't remember one after the other once it's over. I just enjoy the action and move right along. Okay, let's get now, speaking of moving along, on to my early segment. Some of my very best friends and I have very differing opinions on many different things. I mean, friends that are so good that I would trust them holding me by the ankle over a cliff. People of character. Really good people. But, as I said, some of these people and I have very differing opinion on many things. It doesn't mean that either of us is wrong. And neither of us has to change our opinion. Unless one of us wants to, of course. Even if one was wrong, it's okay to be wrong. Yeah. It's even okay to say that you're wrong, if in fact you are. You know, there are people who will go to some really incredible extremes to avoid saying that they were wrong. I mean, they will do some unbelievably crazy things just to avoid the appearance that they weren't right. That's a lot of pressure. I think it's a very powerful way. I mean, being able to say you were wrong if you were, to assert control over your life. I mean, it's a lot of pressure having to be right or perfect all the time. So when you feel you have to be right or perfect all the time, and then when you realize, well, you know, what I just said or what I just did, or what do you do then? How do you confront the world when you're unable to accept the fact that you were wrong? I think it is a very powerful way of exerting control over your life. It allows you to see a path for change, because you can't correct a mistake that you won't accept having made in the first place. It doesn't necessarily have to do with anyone else. It's not necessarily saying, well, if I was wrong, someone else is right. Not necessarily. It may not have anything to do with them. Maybe it's something you thought, something you'd done, that doesn't involve anyone but you. It's not a comparative thing to someone else. But sometimes it does. Sometimes you can say, you know what? Your opinion was better thought out than mine. You were right. I was wrong. And once you've given yourself permission to do that, good God, the pressure is off, man. That whole pressure feeling of having to be right all the time, it just feels good to say, no, no, I was wrong that time. And you know, it's really an empowering thing to say to children. When you look down at a child and you say, hey, you know what? Daddy was wrong that time. I'm sorry. Daddy was wrong. You know, instead of looking less in that child's eyes, you all of a sudden become bigger and more trustworthy and even loved more. I remember once to a peewee class, I had to go and confess a lineage of wrongful behavior. I said, you know, over the last year or so, some of the things that I've done with my lack of patience, you know, gang, it's just been, it's been wrong, and I really apologize for it. And you know what I want to do? I want to give you guys permission that when you think that Mr. Newton is being impatient, because that was wrong of me to do that, and I don't want to do that anymore, but I've done it so long, it may habitually come back. So I want to give you permission to, when you see that, I want you to raise your hand or come to me and say, Mr. Newton, is this an example of you being impatient? I want to give you permission to do that. And I remember one time in particular, this little girl raised her hand and she said, Mr. Newton, are you being impatient now with us? And I had to just check myself. She was absolutely right, I was. And every time each one of them brought that up, they were right on the money every single time. And I still had to take a deep breath and realize, yeah, I said, yes, you're right. And they respect you more for it. It's okay to be wrong. It's okay to say you're wrong. It's very, very healthy. If in fact you are. And you know what? It allows you to see yourself in a different light. Three very, very powerful words. Three very, very powerful words. I was wrong. Hey, gang, I'm Mac Newton, and this is the Power Hour. It is now exactly 29 minutes past the hour. We're going to take a break for just a minute. We're going to let Mr. Richard Elliott take us out with some music. What's the name of that cut there, Magic Man?
We've got Candace Dance here.
Candace Dance. Candace Dance. And we remember this one from the concert. It's really nice. It's a nice little medium up-tempo groove. We're going to take it out to the break. As I said, I'm Mac Newton. This is the Power Hour. The Magic Man's behind the glass. The fabulous Natasha with her notebook at the ready. Ready for the second half of the show where we talk about building a positive self-concept. I hope you guys are ready, all strapped in. Don't go anywhere. We're going to take just a moment to sell something. We'll be right back.
This is Zach Geist, also known as the Magic Man. The Power Hour is brought to you by Newton Fitness Online, the same high conditioning and training that Mac Newton provides in his beautiful Central Phoenix, Arizona location is now available to you online, 24 hours a day. It couldn't be easier. Just log on to MacNewton.com and go to Mac's gym. Yep, his gym is online now. Just go and select your fitness level and go to class. Okay, don't put it off. Go to MacNewton.com now, check it out, and get in the best shape of your life.
Hey gang, I'm Mac Newton. I want to give you a little bit of an update on what's going on with our championship level goal setting program. It is taking off like a rocket ship. Now, I realize I don't have a place online where you can order it. However, you can call my office and speak to Lisa, 602-957-6492, and you can reserve your copy of Championship Level Goal Setting, which will give you a 2-CD program along with a workbook. The CDs will guide you through the voice with you and members of your team, either in your office or in family, through the entire Championship Level Goal Setting program. It is amazing. As a matter of fact, pretty soon, Blair and I will be embarking on a tour where we're going to be demonstrating this live and in person. So if you see us coming to your area, be sure and jump on board. The Championship Level Goal Setting Program is now available. We've been talking about it online. You've been hearing about it on Facebook. Now is your chance to get your copy, all right? So call 602-957-6492 and reserve yours right now. Temporarily, copies are limited, so jump in and make sure you are not left behind. Hey gang, welcome back. Woo! Oh yeah, that sounds familiar, doesn't it? Keep on trucking. Yeah, originally done by Mr. Eddie Kendricks. I'm not sure he was the lead singer, but he sang falsetto for the Temptations, the original Temptation. Keep on trucking, baby. Back in the 70s. Hey! There was a dance called Keep On Trucking. I can do it, too. Would you like me to show you?
Absolutely.
Okay. Oh, my. Hey, gang. It's a beautiful day here in downtown Phoenix, Arizona. 98 degrees and sunny. And I don't think it'll make it to 100, but you never know. It is Phoenix, Arizona. You know, on the break, the magic man was trying to explain himself again. Hey, Natasha, what were you saying about these ladies at the gym on those elliptical machines, huh?
Oh, they make me laugh all the time. You know, those ladies who come for 2 hours, work hard, work out at the gym. They're on lazy bikes, barely pedaling, with the magazines in their hands. And after 2 hours, she feels like she's done something great. She needs to reward herself. She gets a candy bar and eats it in the locker room. I see it all the time. It's just hilarious.
Oh, boy. That's about right, gang. Well, not anymore. It's all about intensity now. It's all about intensity. It's about the 7-minute workout. Do it twice if you can. Can't imagine that, can you, Magic Man?
I can make it as a goal. I can't imagine it.
Yeah, you can't. You can't imagine.
I answered that question.
Okay, there you go. We're changing his whole vocabulary here right now. Richard Elliott. You know, one of the things I told you about him playing with Huey Lewis and the News, and he started making his albums in the. I think his first one was "What's Inside" back in 1990, and went on to make at least. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 different CD releases in the 90s alone. Came out in year 2000 with the best of Richard Elliott. And you get a chance to see him with guitars and saxes or the Jazz Attack. Or sometimes you might get the R&R Attack. That's with him and Rick Braun, that very accomplished trumpet player that they tour with sometime. All right, so keep your eye out for Rick Braun and Mr. Richard Elliott, our musical guest host here on the Power Hour on Thursday, September 15th. Hey, gang, want to tell you, we're going to have LJ back on. She just got back from Peru day before yesterday. And wow, what story she had to tell. brought me some presents back from Peru. Not the least of which, check this out, Natasha. She brought me a pin that was made by one of the villagers.
Is there a llama on top?
That's
so
pin.
Cute.
Yeah, you can use it to make your notes.
Oh, thank you very much. There I feel go. Special now.
Yeah, you can use
it's
a special
so cute.
Llama
it
pin.
It says Peru.
Yeah, Peru, yes. And she actually got to Machu Picchu. And rarely does the sun rise on Machu Picchu, but she says that day it actually did. So that was kind of special for her to see that. All right. Now, okay, let's get into business now, gang. We got about 25 minutes to do some serious work. And we're going to get right back where we started from, talking about how to build a positive self-concept. Answering that question, why are some people more successful than others? Why do some people just simply derive more satisfaction from life than others do? Well, let's first define what we mean by success and happiness. I think there are basically seven ingredients for success. The first requirement is peace of mind. Peace of mind, freedom from anger, fear, and guilt. Freedom from anger, fear, and guilt, and I added in three more later than that, doubt, resentment, and worry. Do you need some additional paper over there, Natasha? Do you? You run out of paper?
No, good. I still have one page left.
Okay, one page left. Well, in case you need some more, let me just throw a couple more your way here. She takes copious notes.
I do. My book is gone.
Your book is full. There you go.
Finished.
Some more for you.
Thank you.
Fear from anger, fear and guilt, doubt, resentment, and worry. Peace of mind. That it's the highest human good. It's essential for optimum performance. It's like our internal gyroscope. When you're living in harmony with your highest values and your most innermost convictions of what's right, when you are perfectly balanced, then and only then do you enjoy peace of mind. If, for any reason, you compromise your values, you compromise your chosen principles, or you go against your inner guidance for any reason, your peace of mind will be the very first thing to suffer. You will then experience anger, fear, or guilt, or doubt, resentment, and worry. Your peace of mind, okay? I think that the wonderful truth about peace of mind is that it's our natural, normal condition for living. It's happiness is our birthright. It belongs to us. It's not something that we should experience occasionally if we're lucky. No, peace of mind is essential to your very existence in life. It's the basic precondition for enjoying anything else. In other words, a precondition, you know what that is? This condition must exist first. Before you can enjoy anything else, peace of mind must be there. In other words, it's like the concrete slab upon which you build your home. You can't build your home directly upon the dirt. You can't build your home directly on the sand. In New York City, they have very sophisticated studies of where they can build skyscrapers. Only in the areas on the island, not over landfill, but over areas where they have thick bedrock. And only then can they build these skyscrapers. Well, only then can you build a life of substance and character where you have a precondition of peace of mind. So, achieving this inner peace must be a central organizing principle of our lives. It must become the overarching goal to which all of our other goals are subservient. In fact, I believe that you are only successful as a person to the exact degree to which you can achieve your own happiness for yourself. Not while you expect someone else to create your happiness for you. Your own contentment, your own sense of personal well-being, in short, your own peace of mind. And you're only successful to that degree. So, you know, this very idea of specifically aiming at the achievement of my own happiness, as I told you last week or 2 weeks ago, caused me a great deal of confusion and anxiety at one time. Okay? I was told at one time that happiness was merely a byproduct of living my life to make other people happy. And if I got any happiness at all, then I was just lucky. And if I didn't, then so what? That was your lot in life. The very idea of me setting happiness as a specific goal for myself was described to me as selfish and uncaring. Well, I had a hard time buying into that because great-grandma had not raised me that way. She wanted me. In fact, that was a big teaching point for her. She wanted me to have the control in my life of being able to reach for happiness and achievement. She raised me that way. I was raised as a person who understood that happiness was a result of engaging in activities that brought about happiness. It was not in and of itself a product. You can't go to the store and buy two loaves of it. So, a major turning point came for me when I learned two simple things. Number one, I learned that if I didn't commit to achieving my own happiness, then no one else would. If my aim in life was only to make others happy, then I was always going to be at the mercy of the feelings of others, whoever they might be. And as I said to Magic Man today, and that he may have opportunities that he's created for himself right here with utilizing the things on the Power Hour that at some point in time may even take him away from here. All I can say is, man, I'm going to do everything I can to help that happen for you. I want you not to live your life to make me happy, but to pursue it on your own. We'll be just fine. We will miss you incredibly if it turns out to be that way. You've helped make this show what it is, but we're going to go on because of your efforts. Now, it's not a fact that will come about, but everything I can do to help it be a major point for you, I will do. And if it doesn't, you know, you are welcome to be here as long as you want to. So I understand that. And some people are selfish in that way. There's, oh, no, you can't do that because you'll make me sad. And so people are going through their lives thinking, I have to make someone else happy. No, that's not it at all. If my aim in life was only to make others happy, I would always be at the mercy of the feelings of other people, whoever they may be. And I found that trying to organize my behavior and my life around making others happy was just a never-ending exercise in frustration and disappointment and disillusionment, because it just wasn't possible. You just can't do it. And the second thing I discovered was I couldn't give away something I didn't have. I mean, when you're miserable, you can't make someone else happy. The only thing you've got to give them is some of your misery. And we all probably know people like that. I couldn't make someone else happy by being miserable myself. As Abraham Lincoln once said, you can't help the poor by becoming one of them. I found that I couldn't make others happy unless I could make myself happy first. I just really, even GA and down in Georgia sent me a note. Just a simple little note. Just expressing his thankfulness to me and what I'd meant to him and his family, even though we've never met face to face. So I've given something to him, something that I have a surplus of, and I can share it. But before you can give it away, you got to have it for yourself. And I call that noble selfishness. You're doing it so you can nobly affect the lives of others in a positive way. So peace of mind is so important. We have got to understand it. Like, where does it come from? Under what conditions does it exist? And how can we get more of it? Okay? Now, in the simplest terms, You experience happiness and peace of mind when you are completely free from the destructive emotions of, what did I say? Anger, fear, and guilt, and doubt, resentment, and worry. So the key to happiness is to systematically eliminate, or at least minimize, the parts of your life that give you negativity or stress of any kind. Are you kidding me? Can happiness in life be that simple? People are always accusing me of oversimplifying things. And therein lies the rub. That's the problem. The major obstacle to eliminating that negativity that interferes with your happiness is you. Yeah, you. And your attachment to the negative people, particularly, and secondarily to the negative situations that cause this negativity. Now, our mind, which is a magnificent source of ideas and creativity continually, which normally works in our favor, well, in this situation, it comes up with all kinds of clever reasons why we have to stay mired in that unproductive, negative cesspool. Instead of working for you, instead of providing you with solutions to these problems and challenges, your amazing brain is now working frantically to keep you mired in them. As I said earlier, as I said last week, I'm going to show you ways, a variety of ways, in what we can control and eventually eliminate negative emotions. Powerful techniques I'm going to show you. Okay? Number two, the second ingredient for happiness and success is health and energy. Just as peace of mind is your normal and natural mental state, a healthy, happy, healthy and energetic body is your normal and natural physical state. And it's the things we do to it that get in the way. Like, you know, getting shot at wasn't a problem. It was getting shot that was the issue. You know, standing, you know, in front of that bullet or that shrapnel. Well, I had a very good reason for being there and doing that, and I don't regret that. But those are the things that can contribute to poor health. Now, in the absence of that, your body has a natural bias toward health. It has a natural prejudice, you might say. It wants to be healthy all the time. And in the absence of crazy things that we might do and eat and involve ourselves in, your body is going to produce energy and health easily and in huge amounts, abundance. In the absence of our mental or physical interference, radiant health, I mean absolutely glowing, radiant health, exists in the absence of any pain, illness, and disease. And you know, thank God, wonderfully enough, our bodies are constructed in such ways that if we just stop doing certain things to it, often it's going to recover and become healthy and energetic all by itself. Okay? All by itself. Number three, the third ingredient for success and happiness in life is loving relationships. These loving relationships are with the people you love and care about. Now, I use that term a lot. You want to do certain things because of the people who love and care about you and the people you touch. Well, when I say loving relationships, well, that's what I'm talking about. These are the relationships with the people that you love and the people you care about. And the people who love and care about you. They are the real measure of how well you're doing as a person. Yeah. The real measure of how well you're doing. I mean, because most of our happiness and unhappiness in life comes from our relationships with other people. I always say 85% of all of our problems in life has hair and talks back. And only 15% of all of our, you know, sadness can be, or joy in life, can be subsumed under that heading of stuff. acquired success. 85% of all of our unhappiness, 85% of all of our happiness comes from other people. It is our relationships with other people that make us truly human. Okay, so we're on number three now. Peace of mind, health and energy, loving relationships. I believe that loving relationships, I think a key quality of the fully functioning person, I mean the fully developed person, is that that person has the ability to enter into and maintain long-term friendships and intimate relationships with other men and women. The very essence of your personality is demonstrated in the way you get along with others and the way they get along with you. I've long said, I can get along with anyone. Some people, in fact, the vast majority of people in this country can only get along with people who are just like them. And you can tell that by the people they hang out with. You know, that old saying, birds of a feather flock together, very, very true. But some people can't get along with anyone unless they're just like them. And sometimes I'll say, you know, to the degree that you can get along with the most different kinds of people, the more mentally healthy you are. And I can get along with anyone from anywhere that speaks any language, that's dressed any kind of way. It doesn't matter. I don't care where they're from, what language they speak, how they dress. I can get along with them. At almost any time, at least I believe, you can measure how well you're doing in your relationship by one simple thing. If you want to find out whether your relationship is working or not, this one simple thing will tell you how well it is doing or not doing. Laughter. The laughter test. How much two people, or a family, or a business, laugh together is the surest single measure of how well things are going. When a relationship is truly happy, people laugh a lot when they're together. They laugh. And when a relationship starts to go backwards or turn sour, the very first thing that goes is the laughter. And this is true, as I mentioned, for companies, as families as well. High-performing, high-profit organizations are those in which people laugh and joke together. They enjoy one another, and they enjoy their work. They function smoothly. They're more optimistic. They're more positive. They're open to new ideas, more creative, more flexible. I used to think that people were an important part of any business. Then I learned a great truth. People are the business. I mean, the furniture and the fixtures, you can replace all that stuff. The products, the services, the customers, they will change over time. I was looking last week when I looking at a picture in a newspaper that was taking a picture of my class, and there I was in the midst of it, and as I looked at all the faces out there, none of them were there anymore. So, it's true. You know, the products, the services, the customers, they all change over time. But if you have the right people, the company will continue to prosper. If you've got the right people, that family will continue to be healthy. The most important single responsibility of the executive is to ensure harmony and happiness among the people that they're responsible for. To create a climate of optimism, enthusiasm, and high morale. Sort of an esprit de corps. That's what I do in my class. That's my job. It's kind of like the universe. You know, we think that our universe is a chaotic place, but it is not a chaotic place. It is a very orderly universe.
everything. When's the last time you've seen summer follow winter? No. Spring follows winter. And no matter how barren that field may appear in late February, soon as the soil is tilled in April and the plant seeds are planted, it's going to give way to 8-foot corn in July and August. It's a very orderly place, this universe. It just appears chaotic. And our life is the same way. There are certain things that are very orderly about it and must be followed. Even among the chaos, there's got to be certain things that work well. This, I call it esprit de corps. That's a distinguishing quality of all world-class organization. So what is your ideal relationship? What does it look like? I mean, what does it look like? Who to be with? If you could design your important relationships in every detail, what would you want more of or less of? What could you do starting today to create those situations in your own life? Okay? Without a clear idea of what you really want in a relationship with another person, you'll probably find yourself in situations not of your own choosing. Problems in life are almost invariably people problems. Like I said, they come with hair on the top of their head and they talk back. People problems do more to disrupt your peace of mind and undermine your health than perhaps any other factor. Yeah, people problems. One of your chief determinants or your chief aims in life has to be to create an environment, a human environment, in which you can be happy and fulfilled. It really can't be one that's confrontational constantly. So you've got to examine your relationships one by one, in your business, in your home, and then develop a plan, if they're not up to par, to make each one of them more enjoyable and satisfying for everyone involved. And only when you have your relationships under control and fully functional, harmoniously, can you now turn your thoughts toward the self-expression and the full self-actualization that enable you to fulfill your true potential as a human being. Okay, we got 1, 2, and 3 down, don't we, gang?
Yes, we do.
We have 1, 2, and 3. Yes, we do. Next week, we start off with number 4. I'm just making sure I've got my notes all on track on that for number 4. You got me set on that, Natasha?
Yes, I got you set.
Thank you, my darling.
You're welcome.
It is now exactly 3 minutes before the end of the show, gang. Wow. It always goes fast, doesn't it? It does. You know, gang, I wasn't kidding. When I mentioned that Zach has this opportunity, possibly, we don't know for sure, but I want him to know, and that's why I'm mentioning it on the air, that he has my full and unconditional support in whatever makes him happy. And I don't want him to worry or to not take advantage of something because he fears of what effect it might have on us. I want you to do what's best for you, my young friend.
Thank you, sir.
Because in that way, when you do things the right way, great grandma always said, you're putting yourself on the side of the angels. You're giving things a chance to work out the right way. You do the right thing. And things have a way of working out. I believe that. Seen it so many times. Like we always do at this time, I want to tell you guys to be good to yourself. Be good to those who are close to you. Be good to those who love you. And be good to those who you love and care about. Save your best behavior for them, not just for strangers. I want to remind you to be true to yourself. I want to remind you to be true by keeping your words and your actions in harmony. That your thoughts and your actions are congruent. There's a word for that. It's called integrity. Okay? Don't forget, it's okay to be wrong. In fact, I always say sometimes when I do a speech, at the end of it, I'll say, hey, gang, guess what? Everything I said today might be wrong. It's up to you to find out what part of it that works for you and what part of it doesn't. And I'll say that today. Great grandma used to always say, hey, boy, your mouth ain't no prayer book. And you ain't got no monopoly on right. And she remains right again. And I don't try to at this point in time. So I'm sharing with you what I have. And hopefully some of it will work for you. All right? We will see you back here again next Thursday at exactly the same time. In the meantime, as I said, you be good to those who love you and be good to yourself. You know, and don't forget to thank the person who helped put us all here. And I tell you, 9/11 is going to make us all stronger. We'll all bind together more and more. I didn't get a chance last Thursday to say, you know, and give my tribute to 9/11. But I had watched on the History Channels for the week before, and I think this country is capable of being anything it wants to be. And I think that right now, that particular event might remind us of the true special nature of being an American and what our character and our nature is. And I think we're going to do everything better. We're going to make better cars, better clothes, better everything, better families. We're going to realize that being an American is something special because we are just a little bit of everybody from everywhere. Peace. 3, 2, 1. The Mac Daddy is out.